Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Of Let the Bible Speak, we want to welcome you again to our program, and we trust that the Lord will bless us to gather even as we gather around His Word. Before we do gather around God's Word, we want to bow together in a word of prayer. So let's unite our hearts briefly in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come again to Thee in the Saviour's name. We rejoice in all Thy mercy and Thy goodness towards us. We thank Thee that there's a God in heaven who knows our every care and meets our every need, not only in the practical and the physical sense, but in the spiritual sense also. We thank Thee, O God, that You've seen us in our sins. You've seen us on the broad road to a lost eternity. And we thank Thee that You sent Your Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We thank Thee for the gift of Thy Son and the gift of salvation. We thank Thee for Thy Word, O God, and even as we turn shortly to it, Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst come and bless us and give us help. And Lord, we pray that there'll be a word in season for every heart. So Lord, be with us now, wherever we may be, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for His eternal glory. Amen. Amen. We're turning in God's Word to the book of Joel and to the chapter 2. And we're reading from the verse 21 through to the end of verse 27. Here we read these words, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for He hath given you the former rain moderately, and He will cause to come down for you the rain the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. And we trust that God again will bless the reading of his word to each of our hearts. We're going to have our second hymn. What a lovely hymn. Blessed is the service of our Lord and King. Precious are the jewels we may help to bring. Down the passing ages, words of counsel ring. He that winneth souls is wise. Join with us as we sing this hymn together, please. I ask you to turn again, please, in the scriptures to the Old Testament and the book of Joel and to the chapter 2. We want to take our verse 25, a little portion of it, as our text where we read these words, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten." In Hebrews chapter 12, in the verse 6, it says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now, the chastening of the Lord, on one hand, is not a pleasant experience. None of us like to be disciplined by anyone or in any way. But on the other hand, the chastening of the Lord is a blessing, very often in disguise, because it keeps us on the right path. It keeps us in the narrow pathway that leads to heaven and to home. But not only that, it assures us that the Lord still loves us enough to chasten us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
And another wonderful thing is this. Very often, after the chastening hand of the Lord has been laid upon us, if we pay heed to that chastening and we get right with God, then the Lord follows the chastening very often with a great time of blessing as he sees fit. Even as we see here in this passage, he says, I will restore unto you the years that the locust hath eaten. In the beginning of Joel chapter 2, Joel speaks of the destruction caused by a swarm or a plague of locusts that have invaded the land. But then by the end of the chapter, he speaks of the blessing of the Lord again and of God's provision in the very place that the locusts had destroyed and left barren. As we've said in verse 25, he gives a wonderful promise saying, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. Now, for us to fully understand the greatness of this blessing and this promise, we need first of all to understand the terrible destruction caused by a swarm of locusts in the eastern lands in biblical times. Indeed, we remember that one of the 10 plagues of the land of Egypt involved a plague of locusts. And describing that plague, we read in Exodus chapter 10 in the verses 14 and 15, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every green herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field through all the land of Egypt. After the locusts, there was just barrenness. There was total devastation. Again, here in Joel chapter 2, Joel again depicts for us the devastation caused by these little insects. In verse 3, he says, the land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. He speaks about the devastation that the locusts cause. Also from historical descriptions of a swarm of locusts in that day, they tell us that they came as thick as snowflakes, darkening the sky, the rustling of whose wings is as the sound of a broad river. Their ceaselessly moving jaws make a noise comparable to a spreading flame or of chariots in battle. And in a few hours, cornfields are reduced to bare stalks or even to stubble. 200,000 million were destroyed at one time in Cyprus alone. That's how many these locusts can be in a swarm. And it tells us something of the devastation that is left behind after us. Swarm of locusts have invaded the land. But yet for all of that barrenness here in Joel chapter 2, in the beginning of the chapter, God says here in the verse 25, I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. No matter how barren it is, the Lord can restore it all. He's promising to turn the barren wilderness into a fruitful field again. For us here in this text, God promises to restore everything that the enemy takes from us. You know, I believe here's a promise for you and for me, even in these days. Not only for Joel's day, but we're talking about the same God. And he can do the same again. He can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Here's a great promise from a gracious God. And today I want us to look at this and I want us to consider some of the locusts that can destroy your life and mine, and some of the locusts that can rob us of our joy. Now let me suggest to you the first one. There's the locusts of disappointment. How they can come into our lives and destroy our lives and rob us of the joy of the Lord. the locus of disappointments and describing the efforts of the effects of a swarm of locusts descending out of the skies. Joel says in chapter 2, verse 10, "The earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." And even so in our lives, disappointments at times just seems to fall down upon us from the sky, you might say. And the light within us seems to go out with these disappointments. And we quake at the very thought of things that come against us. Everything seems to go dark. And everything seems to go hopeless when disappointments come. Sometimes we have great aspirations and expectations of things. And indeed things very often can be going well, and things can be promising, and there seems to be a bright future ahead. But suddenly and unexpectedly, out of nowhere it seems, things take an unforeseen twist, and our hopes and our plans are all dashed in pieces, just in a moment of time. And maybe you're listening, and you had great plans for your business, but with recent events throughout the world, those plans that you had for your business have all vanished. They're gone. And oh, the disappointment. Maybe the disappointments have been in the home and within the family. Maybe there's a brother or a sister or someone within the family, and they've let the family down and maybe shamed the family. Maybe a child has gone astray. Or maybe for them, for a child, the results that they needed to achieve have not been reached. And oh, there's disappointments, and hopes of a career have been dashed. Maybe a friend whom you trusted with the secrets of your soul, a thought that you could depend upon, has let you down. And the disappointment has been palpable, and you feel sore. And maybe that disappointment has come even a bit closer. And someone that you loved with all your heart, maybe a husband or a wife, and the locusts have come in upon your marriage. And from this field, let's call it that, from this field of marriage, from which you expected a rich and a bountiful harvest, the locusts have come and they've robbed your marriage of the joy that once you shared together. And the locusts have come and eaten away the love that you had for one another. And as others look upon your face, so you can hide it with a smile on your face, but your heart is sore and your heart is heavy. It's a very different story. But you have been sitting and nursing all these disappointments. You've been doing it for a long time, and you're not willing to search your heart, not willing to chase these locusts away. And maybe you're backslidden and these locusts have come and God has allowed them to come to speak to you. But you have nurtured them. You haven't turned them away. You haven't turned to the Lord. Oh, can I say to you, for as long as you nurture these locusts of disappointment, they'll stay. They'll stay and they'll eat away at your soul. As long as you refuse to come to Christ, the locusts have free course to remain. Eat away at your soul and your mind and your heart. Now I know it's not easy when you've been cast down by things like these. But instead of looking at the locusts, instead of focusing on the problems, be like the psalmist. When the psalmist said in Psalm 121, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord." Instead of looking at the locusts of disappointment, look to the Lord of glory. For he can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. There's the locusts of disappointments. But then secondly, there are the locusts of financial troubles. I tell you, in these days, this breed of locust have been thriving very, very well and causing a lot of grief and a lot of anxiety throughout our land and our nation, throughout the world. In these days, very few have missed the destruction of these little creatures, these locusts of financial problems. And maybe for you financially, life seems to be something of a barren wilderness at times compared to what it used to be. Maybe you've had plans for an extension or some improvements to the house, but things have taken a downturn and you've all those hopes that you had and plans that have had to be shelved for now. Maybe the car that was due to be renewed, well, it has to be brought to the mechanic and sorted out again. It's going to have to do another little time. Maybe the holiday that you had saved for, well, now because of financial problems, that holiday will have to be forgotten because the money's needed to buy school uniforms or shoes for the children or to put food on the table. Maybe you're hoping this year that whenever the summer comes that you'll be able to get a little caravan to get a little break somewhere, but the holiday, the foreign holiday that you had planned, it's gone because of finance. The locusts seem to have devoured your income and left you very little of the luxuries and the comforts which you thought were absolutely necessary to your happiness. The locusts have come and devoured it all. And things aren't financially the way that they've been, and it's difficult to get accustomed to a different way of life. You know, all these things are very, very painful. Oh, they're sore. Your lifestyle has had to change drastically because of the locus of finance. And in matters of this sort, you wonder, who can you turn to? Well, can I say to you, the only one that you can turn to is the one that perhaps you have turned away from. You can turn to the one whom you have forgotten about, but the one who has not forgotten about you, you can turn to the Lord. Maybe the Lord has allowed these locusts of finance problems to come in to do exactly that, to cause you to turn to Him again. You can come back to Him. And the Lord says He can restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Oh, turn again to the Lord. You know, by leaving the things that you got involved in and turning back to the Lord, He can give you the finances again. But maybe it would please Him not to give you the finances, but just to give you, like the widow, a little handful of meal in the barrel. And that little oil in the cruise, I tell you, it's wonderful. When that little handful of meal never diminishes, and that little oil in the cruise never runs out. It's wonderful to be in that situation. For rather than have the finances of the world, you have a miracle of God every day. Or maybe today the locusts have come and eaten up your savings. They've destroyed your income and things look bleak and barren ahead and you're worried. Rightly so. Remember this, if you turn to the Lord and trust Him and don't despair or turn away from Him to dodgy dealings, remember He says, I will restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. But then let me put it to you one more thing. Maybe the locusts have of carelessness and backsliding has been the cause of all of your problems. You know, the life of the backslider is very often like a barren field after the locusts have devoured it. The backslider's life in reality, it's empty, it's marred, it's destroyed, it's barren. The scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. Such was the testimony and the wail of Naomi. After her return from Moab to Bethlehem, she said, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty. Such was the testimony of the prodigal. He went out well dressed and with shoes on his feet and a coat, a robe on his back, but he got into the wrong company and he backslid in the foreign country. And the Lord brought him down to the swine trough, and to the husks. Life that was barren because of backsliding. St. Augustine could look back upon the years that the locusts had eaten in his life. He had not always been the man that he was. Sadly, he became a young man and fell into open and abominable sin, and he turned his back on the true faith. But his mother, Monica, never ceased to pray for him. As for Augustine, he hoped that one day he would get right with God. He used to pray, "Lord, make me holy, but not now." Thankfully, the Lord didn't answer Augustine's prayers the way that he prayed them. Instead, one day, after hearing about some of the earlier saints, Augustine went out into the garden in great agony of mind. Spirit of God was working upon him. He was under conviction, and he threw himself to the ground. And as he lay there, he heard, as it were, the voice of a child saying, "Take up and read, take up and read." And looking around, he saw a copy of Paul's epistles. So he took the book and he opened it up at Romans 13, in the verse 13. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." After that, Augustine, he called upon the Lord, and his life was changed, and the Lord restored unto him the years that the locusts have eaten. You know, I wonder, is the Lord speaking to you tonight? You're going through hard times. The locust seems to have come into your home and your family. Oh, listen, let me say it to you. Maybe it's all because you have invited the locusts of carelessness and backsliding into your life. And this is the result. Oh, come back to the Lord. And I trust and pray that for you, the Lord will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Let's just close in a wee word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the promises of the book. And O God, we pray that even while the voice of man is silent, Lord, that thou wilt speak on to the saint and to the backslider. Draw each one close unto thee, we pray. O God, speak on and do thine own work and glorify thy Son. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.